It's 8:50 and time for our pre-opening commodity market report. Here's Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Wednesday morning, everyone. This morning, the National Oilseed Processors Association issued its monthly crush. The numbers look like this. 130.78 million bushels. That's down sharply from January and below trade estimates for 132.60 million bushels. We'll discuss the implications of those numbers for the opening bell at the Chicago Board of Trade in just a few minutes with Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities. Slaughter hog prices today are called steady to lower on ample supplies for this week's slaughter schedule. Terminals are called mixed but mostly steady to lower, with tops from $40 to $43. Peoria called a dollar higher today, with a top price of $43. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Tuesday, March 13th, negotiated swine purchases were 15,748. For the base market hog, on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $52 to $65.50. The weighted average, $60, a gain of 71 cents from Monday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $43.35 to $51.50, the weighted average $48.54. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 14,813, the base price range $51.75 to $65.50, the weighted average $59.75, a loss of 54 cents from Monday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $40.87 to $51, and the weighted average was $47.63.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser. Ed, I was in Kokomo yesterday afternoon and evening talking to producers, and they are itching to get started.
Well, I know that this is a time of year where everybody's itching to get started, but you know, it is March. It's still a little early. The soil temperatures are low, although they've come up quite a bit in the past week. About a week ago, it was still below freezing at the 4-inch level here, and now the soil temperatures are in the 40s. We will have another warm day today, but cooler air will be coming in this weekend. That'll be followed by some milder air coming in early next week, followed by another little cool down, followed by warmer air after that. So it's going to be up and down for a while, and with the ups and downs, there will be occasional showers and thunderstorms. After a wet winter, we've really not had a whole lot of precipitation here in the month of March so far, at least in a lot of our area, but I think showers and thunderstorms will become a little more frequent starting with this afternoon. We'll have some scattered showers and thunderstorms in the area that could produce some local downpours and give everybody at least a little rain to wet the fields. But we're not looking at widespread 1, 2, and 3-inch amounts, so we're not going to add to the major lowland flooding situation that we've seen from recent melting of snow and some rain a couple weeks ago. Now, as we look ahead over the weekend, it's going to be cold, at least through Saturday, with some actually flurries in parts of the Midwest Corn Belt. But most of the action is going to stay east of Ohio as a major storm system moves up the East Coast. So mostly dry weather is expected during the course of the weekend across the Midwest Corn Belt. And then as we go into Sunday, warmer air starts to return to western areas. And with that, there could be some showers and thunderstorms across Iowa and Missouri and even into Minnesota on the rain snow line, so parts of northeastern Minnesota could get a little snow or mixed precipitation with that, and that will be pushing into Wisconsin. In Illinois, some showers could work in on Sunday as the warmer air returns with the warm front, and then those showers will push eastward into Indiana and Ohio as we get into Sunday night and Monday. So we'll have some scattered showers around at that time, but then we'll turn a little bit milder going into early next week, and then another cold front comes through. And the cold air doesn't really push too far to the south, so that's why we're on the borderline with showers. And then I think as we get into later next week, That's when we get into the chance of just really warming up, but also opening the door to the Gulf of Mexico. And I think then a lot of folks will really get antsy, as temperatures are expected later next week to get into the 60s on a more frequent basis. So the end of next week into the weekend of the 24th and 25th, the weather pattern does look a lot more like spring. But with that, we do have the increased risk of some showers and thunderstorms. So that's how it looks around here. In the Great Plains hard red winter wheat belt, some showers may start to develop next week. They're going to have milder air. It's going to be mild much of next week out there. So the wheat is going to come out of dormancy, but middle of the week and then again late in the week, they do have a chance of some showers and thunderstorms. So that will be beneficial for the crops there. And it does look like the models right now are trying to even produce clusters of thunderstorms in Kansas into Oklahoma and Texas as we go into the 24th, and some of that spreading into our area as we head into the 24th and 25th. The Delta also getting some rain with that. But, of course, that's so far out that it's subject to change. But the bottom line is it looks mild and wet as we go into the latter part of March. So we'll have to really monitor that closely because, obviously, the fields need to get drier for field work to take place. The bad news is it's looking a little wetter later this month. The good news is really you shouldn't be planting until at least April, so there's still some time for the fields to dry out. That's a look at the growing areas. I'm meteorologist Ed Keezer.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In the Tuesday overnight trading session, Kansas City March wheat opened at 503 up 3 last trade, up 3 May, 491 and a half unchanged last trade, down a half July, 494 down a quarter last trade unchanged. March wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade opened at 455, down 1 last trade, down 1 May, 467 and a half, up 1 last trade, up 3 quarters. July, 481 and a quarter, up 1 and a quarter, last trade down a quarter. March corn opened at 395 and a half, down 1 and a half, last trade down 4 and a quarter. May, 406 and a quarter, down a half, last trade down 4. July, 417, down 3 quarters, last trade down 4 and a quarter. December, 399 and 3 quarters, down 1, last trade down 4. March beans opened at 741, down 3, last trade down 3. May, 755 and 3 quarters, up a quarter, last trade down 5 and a quarter. July, 772 and a half, up a half, last trade down 5 and a half. November, 794 and a half, unchanged, last trade down 5 and 3 quarters. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities. He is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Clayton.
Hi, good morning, Dave.
Some more technical ugliness in the corn pit and the soybean pit overnight. Let's look at the soybeans to begin with. May under its 40-day moving average now on a closing basis and just 4¾ cents away from the 50-day moving average.
Yeah, these beans have been pretty resilient for so long. I think they've been up 4 days in a row before finally selling off a little bit yesterday. But the whole grain complex and beans definitely look, you know, like they continue to be pretty vulnerable here to some more long liquidation. And, you know, calls this morning look like there'll probably be something along the lines of what we closed at last night, although you could argue that it won't be quite as bad just because you have seen some stabilization in a lot of the outside markets.
And then in the corn, December breaking under its 50-day moving average, 396 and a half. It got as low as 395 and a quarter before actually rallying up and finishing a quarter cent above the 50-day moving average. What are you looking for there today?
Well, to go down there and test yesterday's low around 394 would not surprise me at all. I think like you described, the beans kind of sitting right on their 50-day moving average might tend to provide some support here. Plus, like I said, the energies and precious metals markets have both rebounded from and the stocks from some overnight lows. And you wouldn't think those asset markets, particularly equities, would have a lot to do with it. But it's amazing how I think a lot of that is due to the funds' huge involvement in these markets and it's just become very apparent that all these markets are definitely very interrelated, even if it's just from a margin exposure standpoint. But yeah, I would think 394 would maybe be tested in the corn, but frankly, I'd be surprised to see, you know, a real blowout on the downside again today.
And then calls over at the Merck today?
Last I heard, which is probably about an hour ago, I just have been concentrating on the grains, but it was just kind of steady mixed in both cattle and hogs.
Thank you very much, Clayton. You have a grand day.
All right, thanks, Dave. You too.
That's Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities in Champaign, Illinois. Clayton joins us every Wednesday morning on the pre-opening commodity market report. We have a listener comment line. Give us a call at area code 217-333-0853. Tell us how we're doing with our agricultural offerings. You're listening to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. We are on the web at WILLAG.org.